Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. You know, another really tragic story and a bit of a mystery in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And what exacerbates this sort of, and that's Micah Miller on the screen. What exacerbates this is the fact that the medical examiner has just come back with the cause of death being a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So the pastor, John Miller, from the Solid Rock Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Micah Miller, it was determined by the medical examiner that she died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound days after filing for divorce from her husband, John Paul Miller. Micah, who was 30 years old, was found dead at Lumbee River State Park, North Carolina, on April 27th, weeks after she shared a video speaking about abuse within marriage, as claims emerged she was being harassed and was afraid for her life. In the days after her death, her friends and family held a rally calling for justice for Micah outside the Solid Rock Church, where Pastor Miller, 44 years old, works. The pastor stunned his congregants last week when, after service in which he had laughed and appeared entirely at ease, he announced that his wife had died and that her death was self-inflicted. That's a little bit bizarre. On Monday, Robeson County Medical Examiner Dr. Richard Johnson told ABC News, based on the nature of the wound, that it is consistent with a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and it was not in the back of the head, as has been speculated. Weeks before she died, Micah posted an emotional video in which she spoke of abuse within marriage and offered support to anyone struggling with leaving a dangerous situation because they think God will be mad at them. So this is a real tragic situation. And because the medical examiner has now ruled this a self-inflicted gunshot wound, does that end this investigation? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I've seen self-inflicted gunshot wounds that later on came back to be homicides. And we'll go over some of the things that should be present at a location in order for a determination of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So folks, hold on to your hats, hold on to your seats. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone. There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped at 10th and Grant's bike rider.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
You know, this is a classical, a classic case of, you know, spousal abuse. But can they prove that there is foul play here? And one of my big concerns, of course, is that this came back as a self-inflicted gunshot wound. On Monday, before her cause of death was announced, ABC reported that Micah had filed police reports reports against a man whose name was redacted in the reports in March, accusing him of harassing her. She had told officers that she was afraid for her life, and she had found a tracking device on her car and had her tires repeatedly deflated. After her death, Myrtle Beach Pastor Miller stunned his congregation at Solid Rock at Market Common Church in South Carolina when announced that his wife had died and her death was self-induced. He then told worshipers that he would be taking a little break and to leave the church without discussing what he had just told them. In the days since Micah's death on April 27th, her family had pushed back at her husband's explanation of it as a suicide. So there's some, there's absolutely some more investigation to do in this case. Some of the things that we should see if it is a self-inflicted gunshot wound is, first of all, the gun should be present at the scene. All right. The gun should be there. And if it was self-inflicted, it should actually be in the hand that the person, if the person's righty, it should be in the person's right hand. If it was self-inflicted, there should be gunshot residue on the hand that showed that it was, the gun was fired by that person. In addition, if it's a semi-automatic, because this happened inside her vehicle, there should be a spent shell, a spent cartridge on the scene. If it's a revolver, then the empty cartridge should be in the chamber with, that's within the cylinder of the firearm. Also, if it's in a vehicle, you might expect there to be blood spatter. That's something called, it's spelled S-P-A-T-T-E-R, and it's part of blood stain pattern analysis. They should also, as part of the evidence in this case, they should run DNA on the gun. They should see if her DNA is, and if anyone else's DNA is on that gun. The history of the gun. Whose gun is it? Where did she get that gun from? Is it the pastor's gun? John Miller's gun? Her cell phone. Where did it last ping? Where was it coming from when it wound up in that park? Lumberton, North Carolina. Where did her phone ping? All of these investigations always somehow come back to digital evidence. It's Crafty Chris. Did you also hear about his girlfriend's deceased husband? He gave the sermon for him as well. You know, Crafty Chris, I'm finding this pastor's behavior to be extremely suspect. The only thing that also that throws us off right now, of course, is the ruling by the medical examiner that this is a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Does that close the door on this case right now? Does that mean the investigation stops? No, no. There was undoubtedly spousal abuse going on in this relationship, but after the fact, when a victim is dead and the medical examiner has revealed or ruled that this is a self-inflicted gunshot wound, what can be really done to the husband? Elaine Campbell, I actually have, I wanted to play a little bit. Let me first put on Good Morning America, and then we'll go to Micah's own, let's put this on, her own testimony on Facebook, where she told about all the horrible things going on in her life.
The sudden death of a popular South Carolina pastor's wife, John Paul Miller, reportedly telling his congregation she took her own life, but her family is demanding answers. Eva is back with more. Good morning again, Eva.
Good morning again, Robin. Micah Miller's family and friends want to know what happened to her. We spoke to one of her friends who says she was texting with Micah the night before her death.
This morning, questions growing around the unexpected death of a South Carolina pastor's wife.
There's got to be some accountability here.
30-year-old Micah Miller was found dead at a state park in North Carolina, about an hour north of where she lived in Myrtle Beach. Authorities opening an investigation into her death, but saying the community is not in danger.
She was probably the greatest wife anyone could ask for.
Her husband, a pastor at a local church, announcing her death after preaching last week, saying it was self-induced. Authorities have not confirmed or released a cause of death. Some community members protesting outside the church Sunday. This, as Micah's friends and family say, they don't think she took her own life.
We were talking about her coming to church Sunday, getting her some help with her car payment, just life stuff, just her moving forward.
Clark saying Micah was planning to get a divorce. She had filed for divorce once before in October 2023. That case consensually dismissed in February. In March, Micah posting, please share this with anyone struggling with leaving a dangerous situation.
God hates divorce because it hurts people. But does abuse hurt people? How do you think God feels about that?
And this was her last Facebook post. When terrible, terrible, terrible things happen to you, y'all know what I'm talking about. RPF, resting peace face.
And her family releasing a statement overnight saying they are grateful for all the support, asking people to use the hashtag justice for Micah. Rebecca.
So, you know, it's really heartbreaking because if it is true and the police are accepting the medical examiner's finding of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, then what about all the things that were going on in her life? What about the spousal abuse? What about the person that slashed her tires and put a tracking device in her car? Was that her husband? Because it was redacted. I said that wrong another time. Redacted from the complaint report. Was that him stalking her? I would like to know that. They haven't released that. This is Micah, what they were talking about when she went on Facebook and spoke about her life and how it was abusive. I'm going to play a little bit of this so we get an idea of what was going on in her life.
I've had a lot of women that have reached out to me about situations of abuse. And I just want to tell you what a lot of people have told me lately. And reminded me because I think I forgot. I knew, but I pushed it in the back of my head just because of my situation. But you are the bride of Christ. Before anybody else's bride, male or female, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what gender you are. Abuse is abuse. And you are the bride of Christ. And my Bible says that he took all the abuse you could think of for you so that you didn't have to live that life of slavery and bondage and pain. Jesus took it all for you. So you don't have to stay in a abusive relationship, whether that's sexual, whether that's somebody forcing you to take illegal drugs, or alcohol abuse, or physical abuse, psychological abuse, making you think that this is all your fault, or you're a bad mom, or you're a bad wife, or you're a bad husband, or you're not giving it your all when you know you are. God hates divorce, but why? According to everybody I've asked and the scriptures that I've found, it's because it hurts people. But does abuse hurt people? How do you think God feels about that? So I want to remind you, like a bunch of people have been reminding me lately, that I'm God's bride first. And even an earthly spouse who's a good spouse, when they know that their bride is being hurt, just imagine what an earthly spouse does. What do you think your heavenly spouse does when you're the bride of Christ and he sees his bride going through abuse and hurt? What do you think he thinks about that? So, encouragement in all this is, you are the bride of Christ first, before anybody else's. And he's got you. And he sees you. And he loves you.
If that's not an abused woman, then I've never seen an abused woman. And she's pouring her heart out. And unfortunately, it's almost like a precursor to what was going to happen. But as I said, I am not convinced that this John Miller, the pastor, is cleared of anything. His behavior was very bizarre, you know, announcing to his congregation, you know, that she had taken her own life. I find that behavior, apparently he also had, he had a girlfriend, and she was living with this. She was being abused by this, and she was living this. She was living this life, this life that, you know, is a nightmare for a woman. So again, when we talk about self-inflicted gunshot wound, is that the end of the investigation? And I spoke about it earlier. Some of the things forensically that the medical examiner did respond to the scene, because of course the self-inflicted gunshot wound occurred inside a vehicle. So there's certain evidence that should be there. Of course, if it's a semi-automatic, the spent shell should be there. The gun should be in the victim's hand, if it in fact is a self, but could a perpetrator place the gun in the person's hand? That's a possibility. Could it be a staged crime scene? That's a possibility. We cannot rule that out. However, there are things that the medical examiner should also have checked. Gunshot residue on the person's hand. And the gun should be in the strong hand. The person's, if they're lefty or righty, the righty, the gun should be in their right hand. Lefty, they should be in their left hand. Is there gunshot residue on the hand? Is there blood spatter within the car? People that commit suicide with a gun, I just want to get so graphic, but it usually is to the temple, or the gun is put inside the mouth. And that's, it's horrible to hear that, but that's how medical examiners also do their work. They look at the crime scene. Now, I would really like to know, was the husband, John Miller, the pastor, was he her stalker? Was his name on the police report? Was he the person that put the tracking device in her car? Was he the person that was slashing her tires? Was he the person that came to her at a gas station and tried to talk to her, and then when she pulled out her phone and tried to video him, he took off? It's unclear. The police wouldn't release that information. Malibu surfer, I'm sure he overpowered her. Well, I, you know, whether this was physical or mental abuse, we don't, it was absolutely mental abuse. I don't know if there was physical abuse also. Jacqueline Haas, statistically, this is not a common way for women to commit suicide. This definitely makes me uneasy, among other things. Jacqueline Ha, I think it has to be investigated more. Apparently, the police are accepting this as a manner of death. Remember, I always go through the manners of death: homicide, suicide, accidental, natural, or undetermined. That's the manner of death. Cause: this was a gunshot wound, and we know that. Annie Oakley. Did she own a gun? That was part of what I spoke about in the opening. Did she own a gun? Whose gun was that? Did she know how to operate it? Generally, women don't shoot themselves when taking themselves out. Yeah, it's more common that a man uses a gun to commit suicide. You know, I've went to hundreds of suicides in my police career, and I've gone to a lot of cop suicides, which are always difficult. And if a cop kills himself, 90% of the time, the choice of death is his gun, his own firearm. So Deb Galloway, all I heard was that she was shot in the front of the head. Deb, they didn't release that information. There were rumors initially that she was shot in the back of the head, that they said that's not true. Just peeking, my sis shit herself in the chest, left a note saying too much CC debt and money issues was the issue. She used her hubby's gun. Yeah, I mean, just peeking, it's horrible. I'm sorry for your loss. Whenever someone takes their own life, we used to say it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Not that it's a solution at all. And as I said, I've gone to probably over 100 suicides in my police career. Dr. Stephen Washkill, who is the NYPD expert on suicide and counsels cops, and he has a famous quote that he says, when you've seen one suicide, you've seen one suicide. In essence, they're all different. They're all done for different reasons. They have certain commonality, but some of you would have mentioned that, yes, it's not that common that a woman uses a gun to commit suicide. And that's absolutely true.
Authorities are investigating the death of a South Carolina pastor's wife after her body was found in a state park about a week ago. Pastor John Paul Miller told his congregation that his wife, 30-year-old Micah, took her own life after struggling with mental illness. But her friends and family say otherwise and want police to, quote, deeply investigate what happened. More than 100 people rallying outside John Paul's church in Myrtle Beach demanding justice for Micah. This happened on Sunday. Our very own Kelsey Kernstein has been digging into the story. Kelsey, some pretty startling court documents revealing what may have happened just before Micah died.
Yeah, hey there, Hannah. They really are startling. So according to reports, just days before she died, she filed multiple times for a legal separation from her husband. We're also learning that she even filed for divorce back in October. Then Micah posted on Facebook about abuse just weeks ago. The video offers advice for people who may be in an abusive relationship. And some believe that this video is proof that Micah was in one herself.
God hates divorce. But why? According to everybody I've asked and the scriptures that I've found, it's because it hurts people. But does abuse hurt people? How do you think God feels about that?
So according to the police report, 30-year-old Micah Miller died on April 27th. We know that her body was found in Lumber River State Park in North Carolina. That is just about an hour away from where the Millers live in Myrtle Beach. Just days after she died, her husband, Pastor John Paul Miller, told his parishioners that she had taken her own life and blamed it on her years of mental health struggles. However, police say they are still investigating how Micah died.
I got a call late last night. My wife has passed away. And yeah, it was self-induced, and it was up in North Carolina. Y'all pray for me and my kids and everybody. And y'all knew that she wasn't well mentally, and that she needed her medicine that was hard to get to her.
And this is interesting, too. A Facebook group called Justice for Micah pointed out a statement from her obituary that they believe was odd. It reads, she would praise her husband after every church service, telling him he was the best preacher in the world, in parentheses, even if it wasn't true. She also told him he was the funniest preacher in the world, in parentheses, even if that wasn't true either. We also know on Sunday, dozens of people came together in Myrtle Beach, and they gathered outside the church to rally for Micah and send a message to her husband. Take a listen.
I came out today to support her, to support her family, to support her story, because her story is important and it needs to be heard.
I remember one time passing by just saying hi, and it was like the biggest smile on her face saying hi back.
Micah's sister also telling her friends on social media not to listen to false stories being shared about Micah. And a friend of Micah is also saying that she spoke to Micah multiple times a week before she died, and that her final text to her on Friday night was not a woman about to die, but a woman making plans to live. We have also reached out to John Paul Miller's church for comment, and we were told that now is not a good time to interview him. Hannah?
Kelsey Kernstein, so many unanswered questions. Thank you so much.
So, again, a lot of unanswered questions. You know, I find John Miller's behavior rather bizarre. Announcing it to the church that my wife has passed away. She took her own life. She had mental health issues. Is that something you would announce to your congregants when your wife just died? I find that very bizarre. Someone posted this this on Facebook, and they didn't leave their name. We watched a grown man groom a youth member for years. We watched him take absolutely everything from her. We watched him destroy her mentally. We watched him destroy his own family during the process. We've watched him play God over a congregation for over a decade. He's a true wolf in sheep's clothing. He has stayed untouchable. He has put himself at the top of everything. He has gotten away with all of his wrongdoings. I'm so sorry, Micah Miller. You deserved better. You deserved our help and our love. I will carry this guilt forever, knowing I should have done so much more. I can't change the past, but I will not stay quiet any longer. To all of the old SRM members, I hope you feel the same. Enough is enough. We have to bring this man down from the pulpit. Wow. I would imagine people in this community have very strong feelings about John Miller, the pastor. Apparently, he's been relieved of his duties from his church by the whoever his boss is. Via email, he was removed. Is that removal permanent? Is that removal temporary? That all remains to be seen. We see pictures of the service. Micah Miller was very much loved in this community. You know, when you hear, like, he met her when she was 14 years old, and that's what that he already had five kids, and she came in and became his wife, and immediately the stepmother to five kids. Pauline Buckles, did he groom his wife? Well, that's what this person is saying. And I think if there's anyone in the chat that's from Myrtle Beach that knows more about this community, if they're boots on the ground, I would love to hear from them. Frank Marsher, I wonder if she was so abused she thought this was her way out of this situation. Yes, there are many questions about this. You know, Frank, we could say that perhaps if it is in fact a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which the medical examiner ruled that it is, we could surmise that all this abuse led her to this, that it drove her to this. Does that make her husband, John Miller, prosecutable? I mean, can we prosecute him over that? I don't know. I don't think so. But clearly, there was lots of abuse going on here. Jacqueline Ha, and he was 30. Yikes. Yeah, so she was 14 and he was 30. And I don't know at what age she was when they got married. Yes, it sounds a bit bizarre that that was the relationship. And did he groom her? Did he groom her to be his wife? Much like, you know, we talk about grooming children, because she actually was a child when he first met her, and he groomed her perhaps to be his wife. A lot of unanswered questions here. Sherry Wilson, I hit the wrong, let me get Sherry Wilson here. I think we are seeing more and more religious cult crimes, cult groups. I'd like to know the stats. Well, I wouldn't jump to the fact that this is a cult crime. Right now, it looks like spousal abuse. Karen Kennedy, so many women before you have tried to get away from a toxic, abusive, narcissistic relationship and it ended badly. Gabby, Anna, Madeline, they all badmouthed. She had mental problems. Yeah. Mental health issues. But his smoke and mirrors, South Carolina. So she was 14 and he was 28. And at that time, he had five kids from another marriage. And it very suspect. Watson's puzzle. I don't think he can be prosecuted, but the grounds for a civil suit is huge. Watson's puzzle, I was thinking the same thing. There are huge grounds for a civil suit. Let me play this.
The death of a local pastor's wife. ABC 15's Mike Owen has been working for you to learn more about the life and death of Micah Miller. He joins us now live outside their church in Market Common. So, Mike, what have you learned today?
Micah's friends tell me that she led women's ministry and worship right here at Solid Rock Church. While the death investigation is ongoing, her friends can't believe she's gone, and they want answers. But her husband tells me she had a long struggle with mental illness. Micah Miller died last week in the Orem community. The investigation into her death started at Lumber River State Park on Saturday. The Robeson County Sheriff's Office says they're actively investigating how the 30-year-old died. Her friends remembering how she lived her life.
She had a heart for missions. When she went to Africa this time, she... She just fell in love. That was her heart. She'd do anything for anybody.
She survived by her husband, the pastor at Solid Rock Church in Myrtle Beach. He says Micah dreamed of opening up a school in Africa and was always giving to others.
She was probably the greatest wife anyone could ask for. She was incredibly affirming. We spent every night together for hours just talking and talking and talking. You have led me
through the fire. Miller says her death was a suicide, but a cause of death has not been released. But many of her friends are struggling to come to terms with that.
This has to be at least looked into deeply. There's got to be some accountability here because it's a tragic life was lost, and it's not just as simple as somebody had some mental issues.
But Miller says Micah battled mental health issues for years, even speaking openly about it to the congregation.
She had struggled with suicide before, and each time, you know, helped her through it, took her to a doctor, and we got through it, and everything was fine. And she even gave a few testimonies here at church. We have on video of times where she had battled suicide, but God took care of her and got her through it.
For families dealing with mental health issues, the pastor at Solid Rock Church has a message.
Second, you see any type of sign, get them to a doctor. I mean, the second you see it, don't wait.
A memorial for Micah will be held this Sunday at 3 p.m. at Solid Rock Church. A group of her friends will also be meeting there at 9 a.m. to hold a Justice for Micah rally to bring awareness to her struggles. Connor, back to you.
You know, in most jurisdictions, an autopsy with a suicide is mandatory. It's not, they're not going to do an autopsy, especially in a situation like this, where there needs to be more investigation. What was going on here? She had indicated that, you know, she had this stalker. The police know who this stalker is. Was this stalker her husband? That wasn't revealed in the complaint reports. Who was slashing her tires? Who put a tracking device in her car? Who followed her to a gas station? Was that her husband? Well, the police know who that was. We don't know who it was. We don't know who it is right now, but they know. His behavior. Smoke and mirrors, South Carolina. She was waiting for the one-year requirement for a South Carolina divorce. Lori Turner, you don't file two complaints over being stalked and car bugged, tire slash, and a PFA on top of a divorce to end it all. And sorry, abused people fight too hard to get out to end it like that, in my opinion. Well, Lori Turner, you know something, people that are being abused, they want help. And they're taught when they deal with the police to document everything. So if this in fact was her husband following her, if this in fact was her husband putting a tracking device in her car, if this in fact was her husband trying to speak to her, then she was doing what she was told to do. And I don't find that to be at all unusual. Neon Sky, pastor is too suspicious for me. I don't buy it. Neon Sky, I don't like this either. You know, I don't like this whole caper. He doesn't seem too distraught, but not all show how deeply they are hurt. He doesn't seem distraught to me at all. Sherry Wilson, since this is two states per se, can federal look into this? I don't think they will. It's, you know, first of all, it's been determined by the medical examiner, unless someone can disprove the medical examiner's findings, that there's no crime here, that this was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And I know we all have our doubts. We all are suspicious. Anna, she didn't kill herself. Okay, Anna, but you know something? We can say that, but we need something called evidence. And right now, the authority on ruling the manner of death is the medical examiner. And unless there's some evidence that we can come up with that can reverse the medical examiner's opinion, that is the finding right now, that this was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. While yet still today, so did this estranged husband, J.P. Miller, announce it was a suicide before the medical examiner announced their ruling? I believe he did. Yeah, because this just came out today. And he told his congregation that it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So you're right. Yes, yeah, something that's not cool. That's not, first of all, if someone in your family commits suicide, you're going to rush to tell anyone. It's not something you really want to tell people. Aunt BB2, just because she struggled with issues doesn't mean it was currently, in my opinion, if everyone knew of her struggles, that could be a plan put into motion. I agree with you. Sherry Wilson, I wish she would have checked into a shelter. Malibu Surf, I saw an interview of her and she seemed to me to be taking her power back and speaking out against abuse. Malibu Surf, I think that was the one I just played from Facebook. Karen Kennedy, this guy wrote her obituary and it was all about him. What a narcissist. Yeah, that's pretty horrific, isn't it? Smoke and Mirrors, South Carolina. The police are currently investigating it. Robinson, North Carolina police is what I heard. It's actually Robeson County is the name of the county that has this investigation. Watson's puzzle. He's a domestic abuser. He wouldn't stop stalking and harassing her. He drove her to this. He very may well have, and that could be the absolute truth. Neon Sky, it seems hyper-religious folks would rather kill their spouse than divorce them because it hurts their holy facade. That could be the case. The obit was disgusting, Sherry Wilson. Yes, Robeson, while yet still today, Robeson County. Talks to angels. The family could get a private autopsy, couldn't they? Yes, they could. They could get a private. They could get another medical examiner, a private medical examiner, at their own expense, to go over the findings of the medical examiner who responded to the scene and performed this autopsy. Malibu Surfer. My ex did that to me when I left. He stalked. He magically appeared wherever I was. Found out tracker installed. He got increasingly aggressive. Yeah, that's pretty scary, right? Very much a scary thing. Julia Ann, exactly. Second opinion. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, hit the like button, share us with your friends and family, and make lots of comments. I love to read your comments. Also, if you want to contribute to us, we have a Patreon with three different levels. And we also have a YouTube channel memberships with, count them, five different levels. And you can contribute to the Police Off the Cuff family channel by becoming a YouTube channel member. Lori Turner, his sermon was also about reviving a call that was a miracle from God. Over problems being solved, then announced getting a call about his wife coldly. Sick. I find that behavior, not of a man of the cloth, you know. Smoke and Mirrors, South Carolina. Thank you. I wasn't certain of the spelling I went to high school with Micah, but didn't know her personally. I'm just passing on what our mutual friends have reported. Smoke and Mirrors, South Carolina. Thank you very much. It was Bill saw it before this. This whole situation, this is an abused woman. This is a woman who was abused. JB from WFLA, let's listen to him for a bit. He has a guest from the community that's on his show. We'll just play a little bit of this. I'm not going to get too crazy with this.
Because she filed two arrest reports on one day involving her car tires being slashed. And then the mechanic discovered that there was some sort of GPS tracking device on the vehicle. And that is what made her say she was afraid for her life.
I'm reading Rachel's, or the write-up that we have from WBTW that Rachel has been staying on top of, working with our colleagues out of South Carolina. They're doing a great job out of there. And we're just, of course, working with some of the local reports that are coming out from them and others. But if you want to read more now, you can click on the link in the description on this video. You might see it in the pinned comment. But yes, the police report that Micah Miller was afraid for her life. Now, imagine this, folks. Your tire has been slashed. She realizes that her tire is losing air. It completely deflates. She finds out that her tire was slashed by someone. And then the mechanic, as Rachel just noted, finds a tracking device. Just think about that for a moment as to how creepy that would be for somebody to find out that somebody had attached a tracking device to your car and was tracking your whereabouts. Now, there is a suspect that has been a suspect that is referenced in these documents, but the suspect's name has been.
Is the person referenced in the complaint report, is that a husband? And it probably is, because that's why they're not telling us. Why would they not tell us who it was? I think that there's maybe a good chance that this person stalking her, slashing her tires, and putting this tracking device in her car is very one and the same as John Miller, the pastor. I don't know this. I'm using my police instincts. Sherry Wilson, no pastor I know puts tracker devices on vehicles. Yeah, but this is like, no, a pastor isn't supposed to have a girlfriend, you know, and be cheating on his wife. But yet this pastor is doing that. Jacqueline Howe, Bill, I was going to ask you that question. Why would they redact it? They just don't want the public to know. If it is the husband, they want the investigation to have some secrecy to it. If it's not the husband and it's someone else involved, they want it to be kept secret. And so, again, for investigative purposes, they don't want to put that out there.
Redacted. And so we don't know who that is. We do know, Rachel, that it is a male, correct?
Correct.
Male individual.
Their name was redacted because there were no charges filed as a result of the investigation.
Right. So the victim, I'm reading the quote here. The victim advised me she was afraid for her life. While I was out with the victim, she received a no caller ID call, which ended up being the suspect. The suspect was advised the victim does not want any further contact. And if he proceeds, then warrants may possibly be written up. So again, we do not know. I think social media, large and in part, has pointed the finger already at who the redacted individual is. Let's get to this right away, because so much has been made of the husband in this case, and that being John Paul Miller, a pastor out of Solid Rock Church in the Myrtle Beach area. Again, talking, really honing in here on South Carolina. He was the one who revealed initially how we found out about the supposed death of Micah Miller, or the supposed cause of death, because he said, if I'm not mistaken, I'm just going down here and reading the report, he was the one who revealed to people, I think it was in church, how she died, right?
Yeah, he basically explained it to the congregation and then told them to leave the building quietly and to not talk about it, essentially.
That, I think, is going to immediately, Look, Rasim, when you look at Micah's social media history, and we'll get more into this, we've got a long way to go on this live stream, folks, but when you look at her social media history, there is clearly a pattern there that shows that not everything was all peaches and roses at home. There was clearly some struggles going on between Micah Miller and her husband, known commonly as JP. We should also point out now that to the second report, JP was released from his church, correct?
He is now a former pastor. Church officials released an email basically saying that he's been relieved of his duties as a pastor.
Yeah, and I think the site's down too. Did they take the site down or did the site?
That happened before today, actually.
Right. Now, did this.
You know, he's been relieved of his duties as a pastor. And when you think about it, how could he continue as the pastor of this church or any church for that matter? With these allegations flying around, and also the way that he addressed these, his wife dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and he announces it from the pulpit. How freaky and how unprofessional is that as a pastor? I think it's outrageous, you know? All the wiser when leaving an abuser, you have to get as far away as you can and have security like a friend or family with you always. All the wiser. That's why you're called all the wiser. Deb Galloway, he just used church funds to pay off his house, then put it in the church's name. I think the papers he was served with have something to do with him being sued with for something. Well, more and more will come out as this case proceeds. Watson's puzzle. I'm sure the whole congregation reeled back in shock after that sermon. Nina Chandro, unless he asks for a bench trial, then it'll be the judge ruling the verdict and a punishment. Nina, we're getting way ahead of that. Right now, we don't have a crime. Right now, according to the medical examiner, what we have is a suicide based on a self-inflicted gunshot wound. We may all disagree with that findings, but a crime scene is done scientifically, not emotionally, all right? And we're all reacting through emotion because we don't want to believe this. We want to hold someone responsible. And if Micah, in fact, took her own life, isn't indirectly her husband, John Miller, still indirectly responsible, perhaps for the spousal abuse, the mental torture he inflicted upon her? Elizabeth Salvatore, he groomed a 14-year-old. Why was he pastoring at all? This is not new, his disgusting behavior. Elizabeth Salvatore, you're preaching to the choir, as they say in the church business. I couldn't resist that joke. Watson's puzzle, the papers he was served has to do with Micah. No doubt, no doubt. Malibu Surfer from the chat, narcissists love to try to get out in front and smear their victim. He had a built-in audience with the church members. No doubt, no doubt. Sherry Wilson, Bill, the feds may step in on a RICO. Sherry, I don't see it. I don't see that. RICO is racketeering, influence, corrupt organization. And are we already jumping to that level that he's a corrupt organization and, you know, an ongoing criminal enterprise? I think that's a bit of a stretch right now. But, you know, I've been wrong before, as I always say. Debbie McCarthy, I'm sure the congregation never expected that. I don't think they did. I think this is, you know, many people. Smoke and Mirrors, South Carolina. He is likely trying to hide assets because in South Carolina, they make you provide a financial declaration during a contested divorce. He's also, you know, when you're in the religion business, Simon Irvine, it gets very, Simon Irvine, it's all going to hit the fan soon. When you're in the religion business, one of the things is the money you bring in is tax-free. I don't understand that. We're all out there busting our ass and paying taxes. So if you're a church or a religion, a mosque, a temple, what, you don't pay taxes? Why not? I never understood that. Why not? And people may be looking at me and say, oh, it's blasphemy, blasphemy. Give us a break. Have the church pay taxes. Take some of the pressure off of us hardworking taxpayers, right? Sherry Wilson, if he's misusing money, tax-free money at that, big no-no. I was just addressing that, Sherry. All the wiser from the chat, but we know he's committed other crimes. And that's what people need to go after with a private investigator if the cops won't. You know, I think that Nina Chandro, yes, sorry, I was addressing another user on the question why they are not giving more details. Okay, Nina, I didn't mean to. I was just questioning what you said. It's hard for me to keep track of you guys talking to each other in the chat. Sometimes, you know, I got to concentrate on the screen. And it's doing this is like juggling, chewing gum, walking, and all jumping rope all at the same time. Maybe not that difficult, but as you're there's a lot of things that you have to do at once. All the wiser families left that church because he was grooming young women. So it was known long before this. The church is culpable in his behavior. Wow. You know something? We're seeing this more and more. And we saw this in the Utah with the Mormon church. If he was doing this and there's complaints of this, then maybe that is why the people in charge of this church got rid of him right now, because they know that something is going to come back on this. This channel has educated me on why so many women are murdered when leaving a narcissistic relationship. It's about ultimate control. I discovered my husband is narcissistic. Wow. Neon Sky, Bill, question to you as an officer. Is it possible for someone to hold their hand over yours, over hers, and pull the trigger? Can an investigator tell? That's possible. That's possible. But another thing, a Neon Sky, again, let's get back to the digital evidence. Unless he was smart enough to leave his cell phone at home, his phone would put him there, wouldn't it? His cell phone would put him there. And if he was home, wouldn't his cell phone be home? So wouldn't his cell phone be home? And maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but most people in this day and age, they can't do anything without their cell phone. They don't leave home without it, as they say, you know. JS from the chat, pastor allegedly had a girlfriend, Susie, whose paralyzed husband drowned in a swimming pool 3 years ago. His wheelchair fell into the pool. A guest on Grey Hughes reported this today. Wow. That sounds pretty suspicious too, doesn't it? This is all stuff that Julia Ann's sermon was dark and evil. Hopefully no cremation. He's guilty of mental abuse. Plus, justice for Micah. Julia Ann, are you from that community? Did you attend that that church service? Elaine Campbell, if you're with a 501c3 church, run. Wow. Sherry Murray from the chat. Yes, I agree, Sarge. Under what charges could this happen? If she did this herself and she was disabused, I don't think you have a criminal charge. Potentially you would have a civil charge and the family would have to address that in civil charges. But if he drove her to commit suicide, I don't think he can be charged with that. It's a self-inflicted. If it in fact is, if it stands up, the medical examiner is ruling a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Site crash, or did they take it down? Do we know?
I mean, I would assume they took it down, because why would they want people to access all of that information when there are so many people who are dead convinced that their pastor is a bad guy?
Yeah. So in large part, the if you're looking at the room that is social media right now, the fingers are pointed in the direction of course, JP Miller, and people believe that something else went on, something else sinister went on pertaining to the end of Micah's life, her final days. And we're going to get more into this because there's now an emerging report. But before we get to the emerging report, which we have a lot to discuss again because of all the developments, I want to bring in the fact that we are interactive on our website and want to bring up our question that we are asking people. We're trying to get an idea as to how many people believe what on this story. So you can go to our website, heyjb.live. We're asking this question, and we had to word this question very, very carefully due to the sensitive nature of this story. And we're trying to, again, get an idea as to, there's so much goodwill out there for people to just discover the truth as to what happened. A lot of people who have been rallying around Micah's family, friends, the community, people who just want the truth to come out, people who don't believe that the truth is out as it stands right now. And so we're asking you the question here on the bottom of your screen. Do you believe the story from Micah's husband on how she died? That's the only way that we could really word this question and feel somewhat comfortable with you know, bringing you this poll question and asking it to you. So we're going to come back to this, but you go over, you click on the link, you go to heyjb.live. There's no, the only purpose of that link, of course, is to gather votes and to gather comments. It's our interactive destination so that, you know, we can do this across Facebook, we can do this across YouTube, we can do this across social media. People who have watched our live streams before know that it's literally just one tap, no sign up required, no email address, none of that junk. I hate when you go to a website and you have to sign up for something and give your whole life story to just participate. No, we don't want that.
You know, that's a what I'd like even to ask you. How many people in the chat believe that this was a self-inflicted gunshot wound? If you believe that, you believe in what the medical examiner has ruled, put a one in the chat. If you believe that John Miller, the pastor, or someone else was responsible for the death of Micah Miller, put a two in the chat. I'd just be interested to hear or see your feelings about this. And this is no doubt, this case is crying out for more investigation, screaming out for more investigation. And let's hope that the police give this the level of investigation necessary. Older, wiser, the husband in the wheelchair had been going to that pool for years and never fell in. But then she's having an affair with psycho pastor, and all of a sudden guy goes into the pool. Older, wiser, that sounds pretty suspicious to me. While yet still today, sorry, did someone say how old Michael was when she married him? 20? I'm really wondering if it was a 10-year marriage at most, but the last 3 years, and maybe Susie was also in the marriage. Well, while yet still today, she met him when she was 14. So did she in fact marry him when he was 20? And she married into an instant family. He had 5 kids already. So she became a stepmom to 5 kids. Otherwise, I just hope the family hires a PI. I'm sure a GoFundMe would help them pay for it. So many people believe he did it. Julia Ann, the sermon, just the bit you played, Bill. It's dark and evil, scripted, no emotion at all. Yeah, I agree with you. Frank Marsha, Tyler Feller is live and he's talking about J.P. Miller's jokes about his wife. Yeah, that's pretty hard to take. A lot of twos in the chat, guys. Sage Lake, if so, he drove her to it. The Jilly 1337, too. Look at all these twos. So you guys aren't believing the ME. You believe in this is committed by someone else, potentially the pastor, right? I'd say 95% are, you guys have chose too. I think that, look, I've seen so many things in Karen Kennedy from the chat. I have a hard time believing she did it. Friends and family do not give up. Look how long justice takes in some cases, like the Vizine trial, the friends knew it was not right. You know, sometimes, and I say it all the time on this channel, truth is much stranger than fiction. So, Lori Turner, weird she didn't have mental illness until after she married him. Yeah. He could have fed that mental illness if it was in fact true. J.S. John Paul's a first wife needs to be interviewed. Where's the kid's mom? Where was the new girlfriend? You know, guys, all of this, the investigation. Frank Marsha, were the five children all by the same wife? As far as I know, yes, I could be wrong. I didn't look that deeply into that. Watson's puzzle, almost no one believes the ME. I believe the ME, though. JS already has the motive, new girlfriend. Very much could be. Sandra Breedlove, no one guessed this guy with a 14-year-old then got married. What a whack job. Nighthawk 08, 21 years old, I heard. Well, that could be, that's when they got married, but he met her when she was 14, and we spoke about the grooming of young people. Pauline Buckles and a second medical examiner's opinion might be needed. Agreed. Jacqueline Ha, I'm not sure Emmy is pretty reliable, right? There's definitely something odd about this case and him. Also, severe mental illness could have been fed. He could have encouraged her to commit suicide. Wow. That's pretty dark. Yeah, could he have? You know, as I spoke about very early on the show, the opinion of the medical examiner, or not even the opinion, the findings, the scientific findings of the medical examiner on a self-inflicted gunshot wound are several things. And of course, things that you might not think of right away is that gunshot residue. Most people that commit suicide put the gun right up against their head. So that would be what's called a close contact wound. And a close contact wound would leave stippling and gunshot residue on the wound. The same thing if the gun, to get too graphic, if the gun was put inside the mouth, which is common in suicide. But there's one of the scientific findings. The gun would be pressed against the head. It would leave something called tattooing. And that's one of the things that the medical examiner would be looking for in this case. We would also be looking, because it happened inside the vehicle, we would be looking for stippling and also blood spatter, because most gunshot wounds from a close distance enter and exit, and they leave spatter in the location where the gun was fired. There's another evidentiary thing. We'd be looking for gunshot residue on the hand, which I said before. Obviously, if it was a suicide, the gun should be on the scene. You know, there are cases where families find a loved one that committed suicide, and they're so embarrassed that they'll take the gun from the scene. But in this case, she was inside a vehicle. If she in fact committed suicide, the gun should be in the car. And in fact, it should be in her hand, in her strong hand. Because people, when they commit suicide, if you're righty, you're going to shoot with your right hand. So could it be a staged crime scene? Yeah, I mean, it could be. Is it likely? No, it's not likely. But all of these horrible circumstances with the pastor here that you see on the screen, and all of their history and all of their marital problems, everyone wants to believe that something nefarious happened. And it very well could have. And just the problem is that we need evidence of that. We can't just point fingers without evidence. And this case is nowhere near to being closed. This case is still ongoing, and there's a lot more investigation to do.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.
Things used to be so easy.
We just want you to engage with us and participate in these stories. It's a big part of what we do here in the Stream Center. So, well, you can see the vote tally climbing there on the bottom of your screen. We'll try to get the vote count to a significant amount before we actually click on the close poll button and look at the results. But again, that's JP there. And he, according to reports, said that there is an exact quote in the story as to what he said. Oh yeah, here it is. From NewsNationNow.com. I got a call late last night. My wife has passed away. It was self-induced, and it was up in North Carolina. Y'all pray for me and my kids and everybody. You all knew she wasn't well mentally, and she needed medicine that was hard to get to her. I'm sure there will be more details to come, but keep her family in your prayers. That's the end of that quote. I think it's worth noting that at this time, while police continue to investigate, I believe it's a sheriff's office-led investigation, right?
Yes. So
deputies investigating. You would imagine with the magnitude of the story now, how this is really growing into a national or even international story with people tuning into this and so many other reports from around the world, you would imagine that there's a lot of law enforcement collaboration going on, a lot of agencies partnering up. But this is the Robeson County Sheriff's Office. They are investigating the death of Micah Miller, and they have not named John Paul Miller as a suspect. They haven't named him as a person of interest. This is an open and ongoing investigation. So while we know that the court of public opinion really wants to label a bad guy, we see it all the time. The story is more shared when there's a villain, a potential villain at play, right? And but it has to be stated that as at this time that there is no suspect who has been named, no person of interest. And that brings us now to the most recent report that has come out, because it's not being shared by everybody. So there is a station in South Carolina that is reporting the cause of death. We are not reporting the cause of death. So let's explain why. There's reports coming out of South Carolina that her cause of death has been revealed, and revealed by the medical examiner's office. Let's go back to pictures of Micah. I think that's important to see Micah here. And it's important to note that really only one media outlet company is reporting this. So we have a very thorough system that we go through in the news business. It's not like social media where if there's somebody has a claim, they can just throw it out there, tweet it out.
Yeah, run wild. Why not?
Yeah, just run wild. We see it all the time with the major stories where people are just throwing, you know, reports out there left and right, even if it hasn't been put through the necessary paces. If they see it, they share it, and then it gets kind of put into the just world of fact. And that, to me, has always been a problem with social media, is that you see something shared and you immediately assume it's truth, but really, where did that information come from? So in this case, very unique, Rachel, we have one media outlet company that is reporting the cause of death. And I've been trying to get an idea as to why. So I've been talking with some people. I have friends that used to work in Myrtle Beach. I multiple people here at WFLA.
Correct. Shout out to Kevin.
Yes, in Myrtle Beach. And I'm going to try to word this as carefully as I can. We're waiting for a second outlet to report this. The initial report, and I want to say that this has not come out through a second report. It's one media outlet company reporting that Micah Miller's cause of death, according to the medical examiner, was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. I'm not satisfied until another station, outlet, newspaper is speaking to the medical examiner's office. Not saying that it isn't true. I would just like to be more thorough before we just kind of put it into history as fact. So if anyone's...
You know, folks, one of the other things is that, of course, everyone's waiting for the medical examiner's report to come out. Everyone wants to see the medical... He hasn't issued the report, but apparently news stations, newspapers are reporting that... And the husband, right from the pulpit, said that she died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. JB, I've heard them report things earlier. I mean, he's getting a little overly careful, I think. And I'm that way too. I see a lot of people on social media that just jump to conclusions and report things very quickly. And then sometimes it turns out not to be true. Julia Ann, happens when you believe it's the only way out, but she was away from him, so it makes no sense to go to North Carolina to commit suicide. You know, sometimes when people are distraught, they do strange things. And sometimes describing or trying to find reasonableness to their behavior, you can't always find it. Melissa Stiller, hello, Sergeant Bill and friends. Welcome, Melissa. Good to see you. Mary Rose, he was 30 and groomed a 14-year-old, and she tried to leave him after he abused her, and now she's dead. Sherry Murray, did he ever shed a tear? Malibu Surfer, I'm sure the guy was relentless in his harassment of her. You know, I've seen a lot of these, we see a lot of these preachers throughout the country, and many of them are little shady people, you know. And I'm not just saying that because of this guy seems shady, but many of these preachers, they're all about the money, you know. According to the national news, a Myrtle Beach woman found dead last week in Robeson County had a tracking device placed on a car that was discovered after she took it to a dealership to repair a tire that had been slashed, according to Horry County police reports. Micah Miller's body was found on April 27th at Lumber River State Park with an alleged self-inflicted gunshot wound, according to News Nation. An official cause of death has yet to be released. So is News Nation? I read it in a newspaper. So there's more than one news organization reporting it. Miller's husband, John Paul Miller, is the senior pastor at Solid Rock Church in Market Common. He announced her death to the congregation. He was released from ministerial functions on Monday, the church announced. Sheriff Bernice Wilkins told Nextar's WBTW in an email on Monday that he expects a report to be available on Tuesday. So hopefully some of these law enforcement reports, perhaps the ME's report, will be available tomorrow. We have detectives in South Carolina now and plan to have the findings of our full investigation as it relates to the death of Micah Miller available tomorrow, Wilkins said. WBTW also asked for a copy of Miller's death certificate and other documents from the North Carolina Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, but has not received them. According to reports, Micah Miller had filed multiple times for a legal separation from John Paul Miller in October 2023. She filed for divorce. News Nation reports that Micah Miller posted a video on Facebook discussing abuse just weeks before her death, offering advice for people who may be in abusive relationships. Some believe the video is proof that Micah Miller was in an abusive relationship herself, according to News Nation. Micah Miller made two complaints on March 11th, the first coming after her vehicle's tire was found slashed near Springmaid Pier, the report said. The second complaint, filed hours later, came after Miller took her vehicle to East Coast Honda, on Highway 17 bypass to have the tire repaired. The police reports indicate that the suspect in both incidents was a male, but did not identify him. According to the police reports, Miller first contacted officers at about 1:20 a.m. on March 11th to report that one of her tires had been slashed. Officers met her at a Margarita Drive address. Miller told officers this is the second time a razor has deflated her tire in the last week, the report states. Miller said she was leaving Springmaid Pier when she heard a pop and noticed that a piece of metal was protruding from her tire. By the time she got to Margarita Drive, the tire was fully deflated. The officer observed the tire, and upon removal of the metal piece, it was found that the metal was a tire deflation device that can be purchased online, according to the reports. The suspect's identity is redacted in both reports, but Miller said she noticed strange activity and what she believes as people following or watching her. Miller also told officers that the suspect has a history of similar actions against her. So I believe that this person that she's talking about in this report is her husband. I really believe that. And why they don't put it out there, very strange, right? I believe he's the one, you know, it's premeditated, right? He buys a device online that can deflate your tire. MA Sunshine from the chat, they say he had another wife that supposedly killed herself. They're saying now that her death also needs to be looked into. Wow. As the plot thickens, more and more information. Jenny Peach, Sergeant Bill, the husband said it was self-induced, but he didn't mention a gun. Who mentioned the gun? Was it the ME? Well, the reports that came from the ME through News Nation and through several newspapers was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And that allegedly came from the medical examiner's office, although we don't see the medical examiner's report out yet. It's supposed to be out by tomorrow. So, you know, some news organizations like WFLA wasn't going with it. Thank you, you folks in the chat, filling me in on some of this new stuff. Malibu Surfer, there are less than stellar people in every profession. No doubt, you know. Mary Rose, 2 days before she was found dead with a gunshot wound on April 27th, Micah Miller, the wife of Pastor John Paul Miller, served her husband with divorce papers. Yeah, Mary Rose, we did go over that. Lori Turner, the phrase self-induced is so odd as well as him saying he was running on adrenaline. You don't self-induce, you self-inflict. And you run of grief or shock, not adrenaline in a death. Lori Turner, yeah. His language was inappropriate, inaccurate. Mary Rose, Micah allegedly warned her family that she was found fatally shot in the head. Her husband should be blamed, according to claims made by her younger sister, Sierra Francis. Mary Rose, everything about this case is suspicious. And let's just hope that the investigation is thorough. And they spend a lot of time and money on this. While yet still today, where did you hear about JP's first wife's suicide? I don't know about that. I just read that in the chat. Tina Powers, I just can't get over how he flaunts himself around town with a new lady friend, then her husband dies in a pool. Yeah, there's some real fugazi stuff, as we would say in New York, in this case. Inspecting gadgets, this is going to be a long night. Yeah, there's a lot to investigate. There's a lot to uncover. There's a lot. Investigation takes time. Let's remember, nothing happens in a split second. Simi Sharp, sorry I'm late. Was shopping. We rewatched the beginning later. Want to say hey to y'all. Well, Simi Sharp, thank you for joining us. Well, yet still today, Annie Lackley 777. I guess I assume she was alive. I don't know now. Nighthawk 08. Thank you for the 1999 super sticker. This woman was trying to start over. Her videos, though, all positive videos, except for trying to put out awareness against abuse. What do you think about that? didn't sound like she was done on earth. You know, you're right about that. You know, one of the things about suicide is usually someone that intends to commit suicide doesn't talk about the future, because to them, they know what they're going to do. There's not going to be a future. And in the case of Micah, she did talk about the future. So that would be an indicator that she didn't intend to commit suicide. So, as is on this thumbnail, what happened to Micah Miller? And if we believe the medical examiner's report, if we accept the medical examiner's report, he's saying she died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But it seems that many people right now do not want to accept that, that this young woman of 30 years old took her own life. And as I mentioned before, there are many avenues of investigation here. And we do need to know. Here's a picture of the yesterday's memorial service on the beach for Micah Miller. Everyone that talks about her speaks about her in glowing terms. Just that she was a wonderful person. That's what we just saw. Memorial service May 5th at 3 p.m. at the beach, access nearest 91 South Ocean Boulevard, North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So everything we've learned about her is stellar. It seemed like she was loved by everyone, family. Everyone is devastated as to what happened. It seems, except her husband. He seems to be acting inappropriately right now. He doesn't seem to be acting the way a grieving husband would be acting. Deb Galloway, self-inflicted my hiney. I just don't buy it. Inspecting gadgets. If she did take her own life, someone else drove her to it. You know, inspecting gadgets, we spoke about that earlier. And yes, he may have driven her to it, but that would not be a crime. We could not prove that. ABC 15 News, Myrtle Beach, reporting ME cause of death. Okay. There's several news organizations that JB may have been talking about that. That may have been yesterday. Rogerio Brito, she was such a bright and beautiful woman. Everything surrounding her death seems so weird. I agree. Annie Oakley 777, a 35-year-old young lady out here allegedly took her own life. She did write her loved ones letters and gave away her prized possessions. Well, that is an indication of suicide, of that your intention of committing suicide. You start giving away your prized possessions. That absolutely is indicative. While yet still today, he seemed ecstatic to me in the video of his church where he announced her death. Cindy Sharp, she made all kinds of plans and goals, though. I don't think anybody contemplating offing themselves doesn't do all of that. I think you're right. So what does that leave us? That leaves us to continue to investigate this. Dim Small, depraved heart murder is a possible charge and has been used in USA before. For similar circumstances, can look it up. Dim Small, I'm unfamiliar with that charge. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I've never seen or heard of that charged before. Mary Rose, while yet still today inappropriate, much like Chad Daybell after he killed his wife. You know, guys, we can speculate. We can talk about this. There's many things in this case that need to be investigated, and including this man on the right. We want to find out everything about him. We want to do a deep dive into who he is, his finances, his work, his habits, what the people in the congregation say about him. Was he grooming other young women? All of those things we have to look into, because don't forget, Micah was groomed from the age of 14 by this guy. So by the age of 14, it's ridiculous that to think that perhaps this wasn't happening to other people within this church. It's very likely that it was, that it was continuing, that history repeats itself. But what we do know right now is that Pastor John Miller no longer is the pastor at the Solid Rock Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He was relieved of his position. So he's gone. He's out. He was fired. All right. Shirley Bush, were her fingerprints on the gun? What about DNA? Shirley Bush, I'm glad you asked that. Those two tests will both be done. The gun will be swabbed for DNA. Is there anyone else's DNA on that gun other than Micah? How about fingerprints? Fingerprints are very tough to lift from a gun. Not to say that it doesn't happen, but because of when a gun is fired, it gets very hot. And fingerprints are made up of liquid. So the heat from the gun being fired can dissipate the fingerprints. And that's why it's very difficult to lift fingerprints from a firearm. But DNA is much more likely to be able to be lifted from a firearm. And again, if there's other DNA on that gun, could her husband's DNA be on that? Might that make this a whole different ballgame? Yeah. Simi Sharp, in my opinion, law enforcement is definitely looking at this guy. They aren't going to say anything yet, but one day they will arrest someone. I have faith. I think, Simi, I think you're right. They're absolutely, of course, I mean, Zobe, she had proof of his misuse of finances, I heard. Look, in any suspicious death, and potentially, could we say, for argument's sake, this could still be a homicide, that the ME is wrong? The ME ruled it a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But is there the possibility that that's the incorrect finding by the ME? There's always a possibility. Probable. I don't think it's probable. Inspecting gadgets, it is good that much of the early investigation happened outside of the Myrtle Beach community neutral spot. Yet still today, I'll appreciate the education, Sergeant Cannon. Yet still today, thank you very much. I actually used to be a criminal justice professor also for 10 and a half years while I was on the police department, and for 5.5 years after I retired, I was a criminal justice professor. So I love to teach. I love to teach. Tina Powers, I would like to know what the first wife has to say, or the children. Well, I think they'll be a little closed mouth now. They'll talk to the police. I don't think they want to share this necessarily with the public. So guys, Malibu surfer Tina Powers, yeah, but she has had some stories. Guys, you know, tomorrow a lot of the police reports are going to be out. And so we'll find out what the medical examiner's report actually says. What led him to those findings? Some of hopefully the death certificate will be out tomorrow. Mel Stiller, there's a possibility the gun was put against her skin and fired by someone other than the victim. You know, Mel, there's always a chance of something like that. Is it probable? I don't think so. Tina Powers, Bill, speaking of the gun, if she did this to herself, wouldn't it be having powder on her hands alone? Tina, you know, I said all of that earlier on. She would have gunshot residue on her hands. There would be DNA on the gun from her. There would be, if she placed the gun against her head, and we don't know where on her head she shot herself, there would be stippling, that small particles of gunshot residue. And if you placed the gun right against the head, there'd be something called tattooing. There actually would be a tattoo on the skin where the bullet entered, because as you guys know, when a firearm is fired, gunshot residue and flames come out of the barrel of the gun. That would burn a person's skin and leave an imprint of the barrel, which is known as tattooing. So all of those things are scientifically looked at. Tina Powers, I know that the police aren't going to say too much because they are keeping some things close to the vest. I get it. Tina, you're 100% right. What do we got? Karen G, do we know what happened to his first wife? I don't know that. Lori Turner, how did she get a gun if she had such terrible recorded mental illness? Well, Lori, that'll be part of this investigation. Where did the gun come from? Could this gun be the pastor's gun? How did she obtain the gun? All of those things are all going to be part of this investigation. Folks, I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. I wanted to cover this case because I saw there's so much interest in this case because it's a national story. It's a sad case. It's a horrific case. And the investigation really, when you think about it now, is just at its infancy. And hopefully something positive will come out of this tremendously tragic incident. What happened to Micah Miller? And hopefully tomorrow we will know more. And eventually we will know exactly what occurred here. Folks, I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great night and God bless everyone. One episode, just ain't enough.